Kim and Lynn are here from Guatemala, good friends of Emmanuel Church. I love Kim. Kim is my radical, crazy, charismatic friend who continues to amaze me with his willingness to do anything. I'm going to keep going because it's you're just a man of risk, but you always do it with a shrug. It's like, okay, I guess we've got to do that because this is what God is calling us to. And that's been inspiring to me. I know in the last 4 or 5 years, as I've grown into this role, I've always appreciated Kim will send me a note or he'll send me like a FaceTime and he's driving somewhere in the world just saying, hey, God brought your name to my mind. I'm just praying for you. How are you doing?
Please send cash.
Yeah, he never says that. He doesn't say the cash part. But maybe I've been missing that part. I was just so basking in the glory that you called me. I'm not sure. I've just really appreciate the building friendship, I got a chance to go off to Guatemala a couple years ago. I'm going off to Guatemala again in November because it's the 25th anniversary yes. of FEVIVA. So we are going to, I'm sure Kim will chat about that a little bit, but he's going to give you some updates about FEVIVA and the ministry down there, give a word from the Lord that's on his heart, and I just want to pray for him. Can we pray for him this morning as he prepares himself to lead us this morning? Lord, we thank you for Kim. We thank you for his friendship. We thank you for his life. We thank you for his marriage, his example, through his family and through his extended family. I pray, Lord, you bless him. You bless him this morning as he leads us in updates and your word. And I just pray, Lord, your Holy Spirit continues to empower him, strengthen him, and infuse him with your love and your glory. Amen. Bless him this morning, I pray. Let us be great hearers of the word. In Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you, brother.
Thank you, Pastor. God bless you. Oh, it's always wonderful being back. We only get to come once or twice a year, so you got to love me whether you like me or not. Whether you like it or not, you got me, right? That's why I always like to say, I'm Kim, how do you like me so far? And I don't say that at the end because, you know, I'm not sure what the response might be. But there's a scripture I was just looking up. Lord reminded me of that during worship. I love the worship. It was wonderful. Whenever it leads to the Lord Jesus Christ. But in Acts 17 and 28, it says, in him, being Jesus, we live and we move and have our being. And that sums it all up. In him is everything to us. If you are a follower. How many followers of Jesus are here? And if you're not today, we're going to have an altar call at the end, and you can join the family. Can I have an amen? Amen. Oh, hey, that was pretty good, Pastor Jeff, for Canadians. That's not bad. Canadians usually get one little amen here, another one over there, and, you know, then there's always the other occasional ones that will jump and dance a bit. But, you know, for the most part, you know, it's like, and in Guatemala, they're all like 500 people are jumping and dancing, going, hallelujah, yeah, amen. And then you come to Canada and you get this, hello. No. Anybody understand that? Know what I'm talking about? That's just culture. A lot of it's just culture. But before I really get started, you know what I want to share? It's always a challenge coming to Canada after a year of missions. Every year seems to get busier, more involved, bigger, and I believe that's just the world we're living in. There's just more and more happening all the time. But if you remember, I was here last August, and we had a tragedy in Guatemala. The volcano erupted. You guys responded in such an amazing way. Do you guys know that? I think this church sent over $15,000 in offerings. That is amazing. It really is. And I want to share, I believe it's a vital, vital thing as missionaries, and you guys support us on a monthly basis. This is like our home church that we've been here for 16 years. Even though we don't live here anymore, we still consider this as our home church, right? So, it's vital, and you see this in the Word of God, where you come back and you give a report. And you give a share about what the Lord has been doing, you know, through us, but also because of you. and your prayers, your sending, your giving. And I think it's very important. And especially this last year was without a doubt the most challenging year that we've ever seen, mostly because of the volcanic eruption. But we also saw some incredible growth that took place at the same time. So before I carry on, I want to put a little plug in. I wrote a book. Well, another book. And it's been published, though, by a publisher. And I've got 30 books that I need to get rid of. Well, not get rid of, but sell. So for it's like $12 for one, $20 for two, and $50 for three. Consider it a donation. No. But it's a book of testimonies that will challenge you, that will bless you. And I really believe that the people that read it are stirred. A lot of times I hear people say, I cried through the whole thing. But what I wrote this for, and it was by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, was to stir you up to go out and be the hands and feet of Jesus Christ. Amen? Because if he can do it through me, he can do it through you. Because it has nothing to do with us. It's everything to do with our Lord Jesus Christ. Can I have an amen? Oh, still pretty good. You're still with me. So anyway, as Pastor Jeff said, we are in our 25th year of ministry. So isn't that pretty cool? Fe Viva. So the founding of Fe Viva World Mission. I'm going to stand here because that light's right in my eyes. But in November, we've invited Pastor Jeff and a few other pastors that are key pastors that support us from different ministries and churches. And we're going to have 2 weeks of celebration in November. And we're kicking it off with Pastor Jeff. So he's going to be the beginning, and we're going to have some amazing time of fellowship, inviting over 100 churches to be a part of it. And then over the course of the 2 weeks, we're ending it with a big crusade. So we're going to have like 10,000 people on our brand new soccer field. Amen. And so we're inviting people to come. We're going to send out invites. We're going to have people invite them to come and just celebrate, be a part of it. And then special guest speakers like Pastor Jeff to come and just to share and bless the community. Doesn't that sound wonderful? I can't believe it's 25 years already. So anyway, to carry on, I want to do a quick year in review. So I have some photos and video, and I'm going to try and do it. This is always the challenge for me, because we're always more time conscious in Canada as opposed to Guatemala. So they always give me 3 hours in Guatemala, you know, so it's, I never get that here. I try, but they never let me have it. So June 3rd, or actually I'm going to start out before quickly, but we'll leave it at this picture here. We were all excited last year. It started out, the year started out with a bang. We had this incredible project. We've called it the Solomon Project. And it's a community transformation project. And it consisted of a fully professional sized soccer field, an event center, and a huge community playground for the whole region. And so it was amazing. And I'm going to show you some pictures later on, but as we were carrying on, and it was a massive project for us to undertake, and we were doing really well, and then all of a sudden, something changed. Has anyone ever had that in their life? Everything seems to be flowing well, and then something all of a sudden comes along, and everything changes. Well, that's what happened with the volcano. So, and I shared this briefly last August, but I'll do a real quick recap. June 3rd, volcano erupted. It didn't just erupt, it exploded. And it was the worst explosion in the last 100 years. It killed over 3,500 people, left over 13,000 homeless in 2 minutes. So nobody was ready. Nobody was prepared. The victims came rushing into a town close by, a place called Escuintla, which is about a 40-minute drive from our compound. So we were there from day one. We watched the victims come in. Burns all over their bodies, little children helping them. So it was a traumatizing thing for us as missionaries as well. It's not an easy thing. That's why we need body of Christ, and we need people like you praying for us, being involved and being behind it, because that's what gives us our strength. So after that, And because of donations that came in, we were able to help with these things. We had about 100 families that we personally were taking care of. So we're talking about they needed a place to sleep, a place to wash, a place to eat. They needed food. They needed medical attention, and there was nothing for them. So along us, ourselves, and along with another church in particular, we built a shelter. And through this, just slow down a little bit, That building there, we built as a shelter for the men. In particular, there was another building that was already there, but we had to revamp it, put in a kitchen, put in bathrooms. So we had a work crew come. We had a team from Thunder Bay, Ontario come, and we put in bathrooms, showers, built this facility here, bought 20 bunk beds, mattresses, all kinds of stuff. On top of that, you know, feeding all these families for 3 meals a day for 5 months. So you can carry on a little bit. So that was our life for about 5 months or so. Along with this is the daily ministry and the daily prayer. And we saw many of these families come to the Lord Jesus Christ through it. There was a lot of trauma, a lot of problems. And of course, the workers, we had to bring in porta potties. Because they just couldn't wait. Sorry. Okay. Oh, this one's out of place a little bit. I'll go back to this one a little bit later, but carry on to the next one. So a couple of the other things that we did, just leave it there for a sec. A couple of the other things that we did was we started to notice and realize that having 100 and so families living in a shelter for several months, they start to go a little stir crazy. They need to get out. So what we did is we would take them out to occasional places. We have a little auto safari close to us. Some of you may have been there when you've been visiting, but we took all of them to this safari park. And we had an incredible time. And these kids, most of them come from very rural, impoverished areas. They've never had anything like this. You can go to the next one. So we had a lot of fun. But afterwards, we had a time of prayer. And we saw so many of these families and these people come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And the reason they came was they saw that the only ones that were really, truly helping them were Christians. And they're asking themselves, where's our government? Where's others? And the only ones, that gentleman there, he actually said to me, he says, how come it's the only ones that are here helping us that are staying are Christians? And he says, I want to get to know this Jesus that you worship. And you know, I find that is the most powerful testimony that we can have in our life, wherever we are, wherever we live, is our testimony of what do we do on a day-to-day basis for those who need help. Amen? Now, afterwards, about 5 months, they had to live inside the shelters. But there came a time, the government actually was wonderful. They came through and they built temporary homes. It's not like they used to have, but it was better than a shelter. So they all had temporary homes. You can go to the next couple ones. Oh, that's all the bunk beds that were there. And that was the original shelter. You can go to the next one there. These are some of the little families. This is what it would be like in one of the little temporary shelters or the temporary homes. And they built 1,000 of them. The government, which was wonderful, because often they say they'll do something and they don't. The typical thing here, it was communal showers and bathrooms and whatever, but it was well supplied. And so for about five months now, they've been living in these conditions. And there is, right now, there's preparations and other ministries as well. And the government are building permanent homes for them in another location very close to here. So hopefully within the next few months, they're going to be able to move into those. The next one, we have a little video that I thought was really important for you guys to hear.
My name is Elder de Jesus Vasquez Milian.
Para servirles, yo primeramente le doy gracias a Dios.
First, I want to thank God.
Luego, enseguida a mi hermano Rolando.
And also to my brother and sister Rolando and his wife.
A su esposa, porque ellos nos tendieron la mano desde el desde el 3 de junio.
Because they extend their hands and help us from the first day of the catastrophe.
Yo creo que desde ahí empezó una comunicación muy buena con los hermanos.
And we saw a better communication with my brother and sister.
Ya que a través de ellos recibimos ayudas económicas, ayudas como ropa, todo eso.
Because through them we receive economical help and also clothes, a roof to be in, a shelter.
Gracias a Fe Viva por apoyarnos en todo sentido.
Thanks to Fe Viva for help us in many ways.
Creo que sin ellos no hubiéramos encontrado esa fortaleza.
Without them, probably we stuck in depression, but we find strength in Him through the people help us.
Porque créanme de que yo cuando llegué ahí a Moradores de Sion, ahí al albergue, yo iba con un gran dolor, con una gran tristeza, y yo creo que ellos a través de la palabra de Dios ellos me lograron levantar.
Because when I came to the shelter Moradores de Sion, I was in a very deep sadness, and through his word and through the help of the pastors, they lift me up.
Porque perdí completamente a mi familia, perdí a mi esposa, a mis cinco hijos.
Because I lost my wife and my five kids, my whole family.
Y como les decía, muchas veces decimos estamos solos, pero no, Dios está con nosotros.
And like I said before, many times you say I am alone, but no, He is with us. The Lord is with us all the time.
Amen. And hermano, tengo una pregunta. I have a question for you. Now you're now living in a temporary home built by the government.
Ahora tú vives en un hogar temporal que te dio el gobierno.
And how are things now?
¿Y cómo son las cosas ahora para usted?
Yo creo que ahora estoy acá en esta casita como la ven, humilde y todo, pero creo que es una gran bendición la que Dios nos ha dado también, va.
Now I'm here in this little home, but it's a blessing for me too because I have something.
Y creo que no es lo mismo va a estar acá como estábamos en la casa, pero creo que a no tener nada creo que es bastante para nosotros.
And it's not the same when I was in my home, in my own house, but from the shelter and this, I thank God because I have something, and a roof to stay.
Who lives here with him right now?
¿Y quién vive con usted aquí ahora?
Solo mi hijo de 13 años, que fue el único que me quedó.
Only one of my kids, my son, he's 13 years old. He was the only one with me at the time, so he survived with me.
Sí, él creo que él fue el único hijo que me quedó, y yo creo que pues lo que tengo que hacer es cuidarlo para poder que él pueda salir adelante.
That's the only son I have right now, and all my strengths and my effort I put it in.
Amen,
him
brother.
To
what would you like to say to the people in Canada and the United States that have helped financially the victims like you?
¿Qué le quiere decir a la gente de Canadá y Estados Unidos que ayudaron financieramente para ayudar a las víctimas como usted?
Bueno, yo les agradezco de todo corazón, ya que Dios tocó su corazón a ellos también para poder aportar hacia nosotros, ya que fue una colonia que quedó totalmente destruida, y en nombre de mi colonia les agradezco mucho a todos los del extranjero por ayudarnos en ese sentido.
I thank all them because my colony was destroyed by the volcano, and right now I thank them for let the Holy Spirit touch their hearts to help us, and my Lord bless them as well.
Y como les decía un principio, gracias a Dios estas ayudas llegaron a través de los hermanos acá presentes. Yo creo que ellos contactaron todas estas ayudas, y como les decía yo video y cuando lo
The same I said in the beginning, thanks to Pastor Rolando and his wife, because through them we received the help. I know that he talked and he moved strings to move the contacts, but everything just made by the Holy Amen. Spirit.
Y algo que sí les quiero agradecer y pedir de todo corazón, que si está en sus posibilidades, yo hablaba con hermano Rolando de que si podrán ver ahí la ropa abajo. Decía yo que una de las necesidades más importantes es como tener un gaveterito.
I was talking with Pastor Rolando and about the place here. My need right now is to have something to put my clothes, like a dresser.
Amen. And I feel it's really important for you guys to realize how grateful the people are for your prayers and your support. So we want to give you a hand clap and a thank you for taking care and helping these people. That's what the Great Commission is all about. And if you listen to what he said, Pastor Orlando and his wife, we work very closely with them in many areas of ministry. And that's who we worked with because they were the ones who opened up their church. They have a wonderful church. They have a fairly large ministry, about 1,500 people in their congregation. They had a good-sized building. But can you imagine this church, all of a sudden, for 5 months, it's not yours anymore. All of a sudden, they open it up, and 100 families are living in here, day in and day out. The sacrifice that they gave. And God works through the local church. That's what we're here for. Amen? And so I felt this was very touching because this man here lost everything. He had his one son with him at work, but his 5 children and his wife were killed. And how grateful and thankful he was for people like you that don't know him, but yet said, you're willing to help. And that's through and because of the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? So thank you. And, you know, after this happened, there was a lot more that started to take place. Because we had to put everything on hold, Feviva, we had to put everything on hold, and we had this huge project that was going on, and that's a little bit of the next little quick photos that I'm going to show you. As we were building this large playground, this professional-sized soccer field, event center for community transformation to transform the entire area where we are, which is very rural. The children, the families, they have nothing. And we really believe that we can come in and change not just individual lives, but change the entire region. How many believe that that's possible? And so that's what we are on. But we had to put all of that on hold. Yeah, you can give Jesus a hand. Amen. He's so good. So these photos. Oh, so after this, everything was put on hold and all the finances went into helping these victims. But then when that was over, we had to go back to starting where we left off. And I want to share this a little bit because that's where you guys come in again. You know, the kingdom of God is a daily thing. It's not just a one-time, deal. It is our life. It says, in him we live and move and have our being. It is what we do. It's who we are. Amen? And so after this, we actually had this in January. We had a team from Kelowna here, a business that came and they brought 27 employees, to come and do a large soccer camp. So this was day one on our field, even though it wasn't finished. It's not even close to being done. The artificial turf is actually being put in as we speak right now. Yes, we're actually doing artificial turf. And it's too hard to explain it, but because of the terrain and the land and the climate, that is the best way to go for us. So, and it is going to be just an amazing thing. And part of what we're going to be doing is professional soccer camps. We're going to be able to do, along with our college that we have, we're going to be able to do special training. And one of the problems in Guatemala, and you've probably heard about this with the big caravans coming from Central America, trying to get into the States and even Canada now, is one of the problems is the youth have nothing to do in these rural areas. So they say, there's nothing for us, so what they try to do is get into the States, or they go into the cities, get into gangs, and there's massive problems. So we felt the best thing to do is to affect it from the beginning, where they actually have something. They actually have a future. They have a hope. And that's part of what this transformation is about. And sports is a major factor in that. It really is. Imagine your community without a single field, sports field, or a single thing for any of the youth to do. There wouldn't be too many that hang around. So This is now the next phase. While this team was here, we discovered that there was a whole town, 84 families, that were destroyed by the volcano, and nobody knew about it. It was forgotten. And so we had some pastors come, and they go, "Hermano Kim, we have this whole village that was destroyed, and nobody's helping them." So we decided, well, let's go take a look. So we brought this team, this business team, and we came in, and we did a soccer camp there. We put in several stoves, smokeless stoves. We're going to be going in and doing the water filters in all the homes. We also came and did a busload of clothing for them and food hampers. So this is some of the wives, the women lining up and getting their hampers. We also work with the local schools in every community we go to. So in that same community, these are the kids they don't have a home to go to. They actually have just little tin shacks that they go back from school to. So we've made a commitment now to this coming year to actually start helping with them. So now teams are going to be coming along, and we're going to be going there and helping build homes, putting in the shelters, and just helping them get their lives back together. That's kind of what missions is about. This is a few little other things that we do on a regular basis, year to year. Our Bible school. This is one of our classes. I think this is our second year class, doing some teaching. Dental. We had a dental team. We have a dental clinic, and we have three chairs. So we had a team of dentists come in, and it's like pulling teeth to get them to come, you know, right? Yeah, that's a bad joke, isn't it? I know. My wife's groaning. I can see it all the way from here. Yeah. Anyway, so we had a team. We had 120 people come through the dental clinic in the week. And so we kept the dentist very busy, and along with the hygienist. This is now some of the final work being done on the soccer field. We had to put some special sand, a very special type sand, before the turf gets put on. That's it there. And now next week, that will all be special turf. The lighting, all the posts, we're going to have nighttime lighting. There's not a single soccer field in the entire region that has lights to play at night. So that's going to make it awesome. And this is one of our students, and this is a project that is always an ongoing thing. Our college, we do a college that's a two-year college course degree. It's for kids who've already graduated high school. But from there, in order for them to get a good better education, they have to pay for it. And it's impossible for these kids to pay for that. So we have scholarships. And we started a college about 6 years ago, and we get scholarships for these students. And this is one of our graduates, but he is now in university, and he's becoming a civil engineer. And his father was killed. His father was a police officer, was killed about 5 years ago now, 4 or 5 years ago, and their family was living in the streets. And through Fe Viva and through another church, we found a home for them, and now he's graduated. He's now going into university, which we are supporting through scholarship. He just got his brand new computer, so he was very excited about it. And his brother is now in through one of the scholarships. $1,000 a month or a year for the year covers that whole scholarship for these kids. By the end of the term, 2 years, they don't need any more help. Amen? And if they want to carry on to university, we keep helping them. So we have dozens of these kids that are doing that as well. This is another thing that we just finished doing. We had 112 university students from the United States through four different teams, five different universities that came throughout the whole month of March, and we installed over 350 personalized water filters into over 350 homes. We saw over two dozen families receive the Lord Jesus Christ as we're visiting and putting these in. So extremely beneficial. These are just some of the university students that came along. That's an ongoing project that we do all the time. This is the playground that we put in, and we're going to do a quick little video here.
Okay.
There. I love this video.
Está emocionado. All right. Vamos al parque nuevo.
They're walking from our compound up to the soccer field.
Here we are, guys. We're going to the...
This is 1 year ago, pretty much. So, the very beginning of this project, just before the volcano erupted. So this is what all got put on hold.
They keep coming. These are all the kids that attend our Saturday children's program, and this is the first time that they're going to be able to play on the new playground. It's an exciting time for the community, for us, but most, more than anything, for the children.
That's a lot of kids, eh?
Awesome time.
This is where our next phase comes in, is we built this playground, and it's a very large, beautiful commercial playground for all the children. The soccer field is for the youth, and then the event center, which is the final phase, is for family. So it encompasses the whole of a family unit to be able to do events, community events, weddings, whatever it is, seminars. We do ministry where this is Pastor Jeff, God willing, by faith, it be finished maybe even before you come. We're hoping, but we'll see. But this whole thing now, and you saw the picture of it now where it's got, you know, all the fences around and the garden and whatnot, but this was the beginning of it. And then just shortly after this, everything got put on hold. But we need help as well. We really do. And so it cost us, you know, like Fayviva, every dime that we had went into with the volcano victims. So what we're doing is we're now recruiting. We need help to finish this project. So if God puts in your heart to support that, praise God. And, I always like challenging whenever I go. I like giving a challenging word. How many are ready for a challenging word? Can I do it in 20 minutes? Let's find out. I think so. So Father, we just pray that every ear would be opened, that every heart would be ready to receive your word and to receive what you have for us. Holy Spirit, we just welcome you in and just move in our midst. And we thank you for all your goodness. We thank you for this church. We thank you for your blessings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. So I wanted to share. I was praying about, Lord, what do I add to just, this is just a missions report. That's really all it is, you know. But it's a vital thing and a vital part of our connection and our relationship that we have. And, you know, what I found is we have an attack, a battle against the kingdom of God in these last days. How many agree with that? And one of the greatest attacks is our identity. Of who are you? Who are we anyway? Who are we? You know, like there's a lot of things you can ask. Well, you know, there was a time when Satan comes, and that's one of the first things Satan likes to do. He comes and challenges us, Pastor Jeff, and he goes, who are you? Who are you to say you can go and do these things? Who do you think you are? And he tries to intimidate us. How many agree with that? Anyone ever had that? Satan's very bold when it comes to do that. He did that to the disciples, to the apostles. He even did it to Jesus. If you are the Son of God, then you can do this. And he always tries to challenge. But Jesus does the exact opposite. He doesn't do that. In Acts, I think it was 11, or 20 something. Not that it matters. But Paul was talking to King Augustus. King Agrippa. And he was witnessing to him about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he says to him, when Jesus came, and he came to his disciples as well, he did the same thing, and he said, who am I? He didn't say, who are you? He said, who am I? And you know why? Because our identity is in Christ. In him, we live and move and have our being. So Satan comes and he tries to challenge who we are. But Jesus comes and says, who am I? Because if you know who Jesus is, then you know who you are. And if we know who Jesus is, then there is nothing that is impossible. Can I have an amen? And Satan is working really hard to destroy our identity. He's even going to the point where he's trying to destroy if we're male, female. Amen? I mean, like ludicrous things, but yet people are believing because they don't know their own identity. And it's one of the greatest attacks we have right now. Ephesians 2:19, it says, you are no longer strangers and aliens, but you are fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God. So who are we? We are citizens of heaven. Amen? We have another kingdom. That's who we are. It says in Acts 4, it says, when they saw Peter, and this is the Pharisees, and they say, when they saw Peter and John, and they perceived that they were uneducated, common men, guys like you and me, Jeff. Well, you're probably more educated than I am, but we're common. There's no one special. But they were astonished. I look at Jeff and I'm amazed. Wow. Look what you've done. And then they recognized one thing, that they have been with Jesus. So how did they recognize? How did they know that? Because of how they act and how they move and what they do. Their character, their personality, who we are, what we say affects or determines who we are. It says, I want to share a little story here. I was in anyone know who the Schiphol Airport is in Amsterdam? I was there, and this is a number of years ago, and I was buying something in a store. And at the end, the lady asked, and I wasn't saying anything. I was just buying a chocolate bar or something. And the lady who was selling it to me goes, "You're a Canadian, aren't you?" And I look at her, and I don't have any Canadian flags on me. I don't have any identity showing that I'm a Canadian. And I'm thinking to myself, how in the world does she know I'm a Canadian? So I asked her. I says, "Well, how do you know I'm a Canadian?" She says, "You said thank you." I mean, that's who Canadian, our identity around the world. It doesn't matter. We're the polite country. And I said, "Well, couldn't I have been an American?" And she goes, "No, they don't say thank you." I'm serious. Now, there are some, but in general, she knew who I was, where I was from, by the way I talked. So does the world know who you are by the way you act and the way you talk? Do they know you're Christian? By the way you present yourself? I'd love to say that the guys in Guatemala know that, because the way you acted, how you responded. So I want to share a few things. If I asked you to identify an animal, how many here? The best one is a duck. If I asked you, Pastor Jeff, how do you identify a duck? What would you say? That's the first time I've ever heard you speechless. It quacks, right? It has a big beak, right? It waddles, right? It goes quack, quack. You know, and you know the little saying, if it looks like a duck, walks like a duck, sounds like a duck, guess what? It must be a duck, right? You wouldn't go and say, "Gee, I wonder, that might be a cow. That could be a funny looking cow." No, we know what it is. What's a goose? How do we identify a goose? Well, it's bigger than a duck. Has a longer neck than a duck. It's similar. It has wings and it has webbed feet, but it doesn't go quack. Right? It goes honk. Right? Right, Olivia? My little granddaughter. And so in the same way, as Christians, does the world know who you are? You know how that I'm sure everyone knows this, very familiar with this. You've heard of wolves in sheep's clothing. There are wolves that come into the body of Christ, and what do? They try to look like a sheep. They're not really of the fold. They're not really a Christian, but they hide. And so what do they do to hide? They have to put on so that they look like a sheep. All you have to do is look at their teeth, and you're going to know right away that they're not a sheep, right? Well, you know, I've noticed something, unfortunately, around the world, is there's a lot of sheep that go out into the world in wolves' clothing. They're sheep, but they're dressing up as wolves. And it's confusing the world. Say, "Aren't you a Christian?" This is where the challenge comes in. Gets really quiet at this moment. Oops. Yeah, this is when you look at your neighbor and say, "Yeah, oh, You know? No, this is where we have to identify ourselves. Who am I? Who am I? Is my identity in Christ? So I've written out a list, and this is not an exhaustive list, but it gives a little bit of understanding. Who are we as a Christian? What does a Christian look like? Look at your neighbor. Do they look like a Christian? Do they sound like a Christian? I hope so. He's looking at Pastor Jeff when he said that. It's like, I hope so, yeah. Well, here's some things that can identify us as Christians. And you know, sometimes we need to have our own little checklist, because it says we're to examine ourselves every day to see if what? If we're in the faith. In other words, are we looking like a Christian? Do we sound like a Christian? Do we walk like a Christian? Do we act like a Christian? So one of the first things I thought of is Christians give. That's just what we do. Ducks quack, Christians give. It's not something that we have to try to do. It's just simply who we are. Christians give. Jesus gave. God so loved the world that he gave. Christians give. Christians love. It says God is love. Amen? That's what we are. We love. We love the unloved. We love those who don't deserve love. We love those who, even though we look at them, we say, I don't want to. But love is an action. It's not a feeling. And because of Christ, we look at our identity in Jesus Christ, and we see what he's did, and he says, because he loved us, even while we are still sinners, it says, we imitate Christ, and we love. Everyone with me so far? Christians help. We help others. Christians bless. We bless and we don't curse. And that's why you can see around the world, you see people who are being martyred for the name of, in the name of Jesus. And we scratch our heads. Honestly, you can scratch your head and say, well, how can this be? How can they do this? It's because they bless, because it's who they are. And it says we're sheep being slaughtered, but in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And God uses that to convict the world concerning sin. It says Christians heal. This is one I love. Christians heal. It says they shall lay hands on the sick. How many Christians are here? Lift your hands. Keep your hands up. It says, in the name of Jesus, if you're a Christian, you will lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. When was the last time you laid your hand on someone who was sick? Amen. Take a look at your hand. You say, this hand heals. Now, it's not you. It's Christ in you. But it says, by the laying on of hands, you heal the sick. That's who we are. That's our identity. Now, it's been said by many, says, healing is God's credit card or calling card. It's just who he is. He says, here. Be healed in Jesus' name. It's like giving him a calling card and says, here, give me a call whenever you need me. This is who I am. Amen. That's who we are. Christian, I love this one. Now, if you're on the mission field, you'll understand this. Canadians, maybe not as much. Christians cast out devils. I think we need a little more of that in Canada. We have a little saying on the mission field. It says, all the devils, all the demons and devils in North America are just the ones that couldn't handle it on the mission field. I got a few laughs on that one. Thank you. Yeah. But it says we shall cast out devils. And you know why? Because as a believer, as a Christian, you have the power in the name of Jesus. It says you have power and authority over all the power of the enemy. That's who you are. Did you know that? Wow. I look in the mirror and I say, man, I don't see that guy with power and authority. But if you look a little deeper, you see Jesus. Woo, you guys all look so good. Well, most of you. No. Christians imitate Jesus. Whoa, there's a tough one. It says we imitate. Paul says, imitate me as I imitate Christ. So we imitate. So whatever we see Jesus do, that's just what we do. We imitate him. So whatever he did, says that's what we do. Christians forgive. Even when we don't want to. Even when it's tough. Even when it's they don't deserve it. That's just who we are. Right? Is this resonating with some of you? We just forgive. That's just who we are. Christians repent. Anyone ever blown it? Anyone ever needed to repent? Every single day. Amen. Every single day. How many times should we forgive? 70 times 7. How many times do we need to repent? As many times as is needed. That's who we are. We recognize that we ourselves are weak, but in him we are strong. Amen? And that's what makes us unique. That's what makes believers and Christians different from any other religion in the world, are those points. Christians bring hope. Christians believe. It says they believe all things, hope all things, and endure all things. Christians persevere. Christians pray. It says lifting up holy hands. Anybody here pray? It says we pray. That's who we do. That's what we do, and that's who we are. And the last one of all is Christians die. We die. It says we die to self because we're no longer our own. When we gave up our life, we gave up our choice to receive the Lord Jesus Christ, we gave up the right to ourselves. And that's the Great Commission. If I could ask the worship band to come up. It says, we are no longer our own. We belong to another. We belong to another kingdom. We belong to another master. Amen? And his name is Jesus. And so we imitate him, we serve him, we follow him. And Christians go into all the world in his name. They share the gospel to the poor, the sick, the lonely, the destitute, the forgotten, the lost. That's the Great Commission. That's the whole purpose of our being. That's the whole purpose of church, is to come and worship our incredible God, to give thanks to our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because that is our identity. And we go as he's called us to go. That is our purpose. That is our motive. That is the reason for church. Amen? And I'm just here to remind you of those things. Those are things you already know. But the power of the living God lives inside of you, and there is nothing that is impossible to those who believe. If you just start to rise up and to realize who you are in Christ Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit that resides in you, there is nothing that you cannot do. Absolutely nothing. You can go out into the world, lay hands on the sick. You can go out and share Jesus, and it's by the conviction of the Holy Spirit that they come. There was a young man from China that was with us during one of these water filters. He was a student in Illinois, the University of Illinois, but he was from mainland China. And he had only been a Christian for about 3 months. He received Jesus Christ while he was at school. And then he decided to come on this trip. And he's never prayed for anyone in his life. He didn't even know how to pray. And he's praying, and he spoke good English, but he's praying for this one family that received a water filter. And he says, what do I say? What do I do? And he says, just tell them what happened to you. And in his broken words, remember, never prayed for anybody before. Didn't really know a lot about Jesus except what he did for him. And through his broken prayer, an entire family said, I want that Jesus. And they prayed and received the Lord Jesus Christ and the infilling of the Holy Spirit right there. Why? Because one individual like you has a testimony, and that is who you are in Christ Jesus and what did Jesus do for you. And I want to have an invitation this morning. First of all, I want to ask, is there anyone here who's never received Jesus as Lord? You may be visiting here. It's so real. Today is your day to do it. And we invite you to come. And all it takes is to say, Jesus, I want you. Amen? So, Father, we just pray right now for that. And we pray for this community. We pray, Lord, for your Holy Spirit to go out into the all the world, to go out into the lost. Give us strength and boldness to preach your gospel.